Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all my shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Music, wine, and then move up and get on top.
The glory hole's like a dick theater. I've imagined your
pants. Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
Ooh.
Wow, you're very scary.
I am. I want to do your taxes.
No, you don't.
Oh, that's scary. You don't want me doing
right,
your
right.
taxes.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. Like, that's true. Yeah.
I'm trying to. This is like a haunted podcast. Wow. It's a haunt cast.
Okay.
A pod haunt.
I'm
working on it. Okay. We'll workshop this. Yes.
So welcome back to another week here, by the by.
That's right.
Getting ready for Halloween.
We just passed a Friday the 13th, and now we're coming up on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to talk about scary things.
Yeah.
And what's scarier to a weekly podcast listener than a rewind? That's right. This week we are diving back into a episode that we originally released on October 27th, 2021.
So not too far back.
And if you can think back that far, you know how scary of a time it was. It was pre-vaccinations.
And no.
Oh, no. Wait, that's 2020.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was still scary because you had, you know, like, you know, conservatives in power and anti-maskers and people, weirdos. If you're one of those people, you're a weirdo. Anyway, so what did we do back on what did you hear us do? If you maybe you didn't, maybe you, this is your first time. That's great. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Well, we watched, I made Angela watch one of my favorite horror movies and we discussed it. And what was that horror movie? It was
something about Freddy.
Oh my God. Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, which is known to have one of the first Scream Kings. It was a male protagonist in a horror movie, which is almost unheard of. And it ended up becoming sort of a queer icon in horror. Like horror in general is, there was a lot of queer icons, but this one was special because of all of the very clearly gay and BDSM subtext that was in the film. So yeah, we are going to talk about that. And then we also asked our Discord folks what their favorite horror movies are, and we talked a bit about that. So before we dive into the podcast, just real quick, there's still a couple of rooms left at our not-so-scary Escape to the Tropics.
Mm-hmm.
Although it'll be hot, which can be scary, but it'll be sexy, which is also hot. It's complicated. But that is November 9th through the 13th.
8th.
Fuck! 8th through the 13th. And then our next pendulum party, that's right, we just had one, but we got one right coming up November 24th. So those tickets will go on sale very soon.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk to our Discord folks about your favorite scary movie, what's your favorite scary movie? Well, all you have to do is support us at any level on Patreon, www.patreon.com/bythebypodcast. And that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
So without further ado, grab your popcorn. If you haven't already watched the movie, pause us right now. Go find Freddy's Revenge. It is amazing. And he actually breaks into the real world, which is just bizarre. But, you know, he's a great guy to have at a barbecue. You know, remember, nightmares are dreams too. Yeah, so we are going to continue on what we started a bit last week with the sort of the what binds the horror genre with the queer world.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to talk a bit more about some of the background stuff. I know we talked a little about Universal Monsters, but also about just early queer history and with people like Oscar Wilde, who wrote The Picture of Dorian Gray. And so what's interesting about that, anybody who's read it or seen the movie, is that the artist is clearly, so the basic story is you've got a young, rich, vivacious young man, and he gets his portrait done, and when he sees it, he's so infatuated with the portrait that he wishes that he himself could stay as beautiful as this portrait is for the rest of his life. And so by the miracle of miracles, the portrait ages, but he stays the same. And so what's interesting about that is, I've seen it on stage. I've seen stage adaptations. I've seen the original movie, which is very, very old. You know, I've read the book, which was written by a queer author. And it's like what at the time might have been subtext, I think in today's time is super text, because the artist who paints Dorian's picture is clearly infatuated with him. And it's this big sort of like big to-do. He talks about how vivacious he is and how rosy his cheeks are and how he's this epitome of manhood and blah, 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 blah. And Dorian, while he does date a woman, he dates an actress, and it's very clear that he's dating her because of her job, not necessarily because of she's beautiful.
Her status.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when she says to him, look, I'll quit acting because I want to be with you forever, he's like, bye-bye.
No thanks.
No thanks. And, he sits and stares nightly at this portrait, and so he's, it's that self-love and that love of man and that man love of man. And there's three main guys that sort of the artist, Dorian, and his close friend, who basically are in this lovers trio kind of thing.
So if he's staring at his portrait and in love with himself or this portrait of himself, does that mean that he starts to then get like a silver fox thing and like a daddy fetish, but yet he can't fulfill because he's like forever young?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. He is forever twink. There's your next story. It's a picture of Dorian Gray, but it's a twink story. And it's like a twink and a bear. Yeah, the picture starts out as a twink, and as he ages and does more sinful things, it becomes a bear.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. We need to get on this.
Yeah.
Awesome. And also I wanted to talk a bit more about the Universal Monsters, because I know I touched on it, but I touched on it relatively fleetingly, and I've been thinking about it all week, and I've written some notes down to try to more clearly express my thoughts and feelings on this. So firstly, you have Frankenstein, which if you've read the book, Frankenstein is the name of the creator, not the creature. The creature is just known as the monster, or in the book, Adam. And he makes it a point, both in the book and in the movie, to find the best. He wants the epitome of man. If all you're doing is recreating life, do you fucking care? I feel like if you're making a man, it is very much Rocky Horror Picture Show, right? Mm. I'm making a man. Right? So I feel like Frankenstein is doing that. Also, as a side note, in the original movie, the side character was named Fritz, who doesn't appear in the book. Where did Igor come from? Igor, whatever, other than young Frankenstein? Wasn't your hump on the other side? What hump? Anyway, like four people out there who laughed at that. I appreciate you. But I think one of the important sort of reason, like what I want to kind of dive into with this is why the queer community sort of dives into horror and really grasps onto it. And think about what happens when Frankenstein finally creates his monster. What does he do? He creates his child, and just because of what his child is, he hates it. He shuns it. He pu-
pushes it away. And I think that that's something that's really common in the queer community, even today. It was definitely common then, but even today, you look at that and it's very much a sort of a surrogate for the religious right and how they see their children and immediately banish them. So it's very easy for you to see yourself in that. Next one I'm going to touch on is Dracula's Daughter, which was the sequel to Dracula.
Okay, I don't think I saw this one.
I don't think a lot of people saw this one. But Dracula's Daughter was really put down by the Hays Board, which if you don't know who the Hays Board is, that was the before the MPAA, that was they were the people who really kind of shut down movies. And they are the reason that we're so prudish in our films even today. And so, you know, a lot of what the MPAA does, while the Hays Board was clearly censoring and the MPAA says, oh, we don't censor, we advise. They also censor. Anyway, that's a whole different story. Dracula's Daughter is this beautiful, beautiful woman, a little more matronly than you might expect, but she preys on women. And there's a scene where she encourages a young woman to move her dress, open her dress up a little more off the shoulder. Like, oh, so scandalous. And it's clear that what she's staring at is the woman's breasts and her shoulder. And the woman is getting uncomfortable with this. The young woman is getting uncomfortable with this. And basically she's like, no, no, no. And Dracula's daughter's like, oh, you'll do just fine. And then she pounces on her. Well, a lot of that had to be cut because the Hays Code was like, we can't have a woman biting another woman.
Oh no, that's scandalous.
Yes. So they did. They cut a lot of it back.
Boo. Take all the fun out of it. Come on. That's what we want to see.
But what's really funny is that Universal Marketing didn't. They pushed it. In fact, they ran with one of the taglines that was something along the line of, London, protect your young girls. It's like, and, you know, the cover has this woman on it. It's like, so she's clearly a predator of young women. So very interesting stuff.
Awesome. I feel like I should look this up.
Yeah, we'll have to watch it. It's good stuff. Lastly, I'm going to talk about Wolfman.
Yeah.
Which I think is obviously a queer reference. Uh-huh. If you can't figure this one out, like you can figure it out. But Wolfman, he's a normal man by day and he's a wild beast at night. Doing, you know, stuff that normal men wouldn't do. Also, come on, who amongst the gay community isn't a furry? Puppy play, anybody? Come on. I mean, it basically makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty obvious.
So I think ultimately what the before we get into the our main topic of the movie we watched this week, horror is very much about from the monster's point of view, which is why we watch horror movies. We watch them for the monsters, not for the heroes.
It's so true.
It is. I mean,
yeah. I'm trying to think now of like, you know, other genres where we watch for the monsters, but
maybe James Bond.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people it's 50-50.
Yeah.
You watch it for Dr. No, it's named Dr. No, but it's
right.
You know,
yeah.
Goldfinger. No, right. They're named after these people, but you still, it's a 50-50.
Yeah.
But with the horror movies,
it's always the monsters. That's what you want to see.
Right. Yeah. Like, I remember growing up, it wasn't Friday the 13th. It was the Jason film. Let's watch the new Jason film. It wasn't Nightmare on Elm Street. It was the new Freddy film. It wasn't, it was Halloween, so it wasn't the new Michael Myers film. But
yeah,
everybody knows it's Michael Myers. And so you constantly, and then when you think of, the classics, are named. Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman, the Mummy. They're named after their villains.
Yeah.
But it's about that sense of being, of having to hide and being rejected wherever you go, which is what the monster is having to do. And never really finding your perfect mate or your partner. Bride of Frankenstein is very much this. As soon as she's created, she abhors and rejects, you know, the monster.
Yeah.
Also interesting. She's created by two men. So it's like the Hays Code also hated that because you couldn't have two men creating life. I love
wow.
it.
Wow.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Again, it's also about being looked at as a monster. You're the other, you're different, by public, even though you may not have done anything wrong. You've not done anything wrong or anything to hurt them, but they hate you based on who you are. That that horror, and I remember this growing up, of they are coming for your children. And I had a time when my parents were not happy because a family member was wanting to take me to a film with a gay friend. And I was young. I was probably 10, 11. And they were like, well, who's going to take him to the bathroom? And they were like, well, him. He's gay. He can't take him to the bathroom. So it's shit like that. It's not.
Oh, that's yeah. So terrible.
Which goes against nature, yeah. Which again, the mad scientist going against nature, or being a creature that is unable to control its urges. And finally, you know, like being something that was born to be against God's will. It was against the normal. It was against what was it? So it's very understandable why queer culture looks at horror and immediately latches onto it.
Well, they identify with it, yeah.
Yeah, because you look in many of these monsters, you sort of see your own reflection in. And I think it's really kind of interesting to see that.
Also, there can be a lot of sexiness in the films, too. And, I mean, who doesn't want to watch that?
I know. I mean, thank you, Friday the 13th, taking a genre that started out with Halloween, really, that was not very bloody, not a lot of sex, and saying, you know what we're going to do? We're making it to where if you fuck, you die. Uh-huh. Also, show us your tits. The virgin lives. Which, again, like we said last week, harkens back to the AIDS epidemic. Right. Oof. So, with that, let's go back to 1985 and talk about a movie that has been sort of touted as the queer horror movie.
Uh-huh.
Rated R and running at an hour and 27 minutes, the movie is A Nightmare on Elm Street 2. Freddy's Revenge.
What was he getting revenge on? We talked about this last week. We don't know what he's getting revenge on.
Did we talk about this last week?
Yeah, well, we briefly mentioned.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah. I don't know why.
Maybe we talked about revenge. It off the show.
I think we did. Okay. I don't think it was actually on the podcast.
Okay.
We don't know what he's getting revenge for. Yeah. He doesn't know what he's getting revenge for. It's clearly not a revenge story unless he's getting revenge on the chick. But I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter. Here's a literally one-sentence plot synopsis. A teenage boy is haunted in his dreams by deceased child murderer Freddy Krueger, who is out to possess him in order to continue his reign of terror in the real world.
Ooh.
So this film, if you aren't familiar with it, Freddy Krueger is played by Robert Englund, stars Jesse Walsh, played by Mark Patton. And it was the first instance of a Scream King.
Oh.
So the first time the protagonist was male. And really, if you think about the Halloween series, the Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, the big three, and we'll go ahead and include things like Hellraiser, Phantasm, like rarely, very rarely do you have a male protagonist.
Yeah, that's very true. I hadn't really thought about that.
Not in slashers.
Yeah.
Because you have to be a female virgin in order to survive. And let's be realistic, no boy can keep it in his pants.
I'd say there's no male virgins out there, right?
Exactly. So it was written by David Chaskin. And the only reason I bring him up is that he is sort of notorious for what he has said about this film, that it wasn't a queer story. It wasn't intended to be a queer story.
So he's saying he didn't mean it to be, but yet it somehow turned into that, basically.
Well, there was a lot of blame going around on this. And
why is that a bad thing, really?
Well, because, so, I mean, ultimately, again, remember, it's 1985. Reagan has been president for maybe a year.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, being gay is not okay, which was probably a bumper sticker that was on many people's cars back then. But so director Jack Shoulder and David Chaskin both have denied that there was any kind of subtext in the film. And we're going to spoil this film if you haven't watched it, but a quick sort of really quick overview of it is, well, you've got a young boy who is plagued with dreams, recently moved into the same house that was featured in the first Nightmare on Elm Street. And he's plagued by dreams of this, of Freddy Krueger. He's clearly being pursued by this girl who for no reason should like him, but she does. He meets,
well, he's the new boy in town, right?
Yeah. So fresh meat.
Yeah.
So he meets this guy in school who at first seems like a bully, but then they become BFFs. And so the story continues as he is sort of abused by some of his teachers at school, and he's trying to figure out what's going on with him and why his downstairs feels really strange about this girl. And yet still Freddie is around all the time.
I'm getting so much more symbolism now as we're talking about this, because you said, why is his downstairs feel, but like the downstairs of the house was hot. Like the basement of the house was always hot and on fire.
That's where the furnace was.
Yeah.
That's where the heat is.
But then also like during the movie, you know, he starts to change as Freddy basically comes out of him, or he turns into Freddy. But he's like, you know, doesn't want his body to change. He's like, oh my God, what's going on? Why is my body changing? But that's a very teenage thing, right?
Yeah, puberty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting story. And what's really interesting is that the actor who plays Jesse, again, his name is Mark Patton, was closeted at the time. And it's just this, it's interesting. Within the first 10 minutes, you get him screaming at the top of his lungs. And it is a shrill falsetto scream as he wakes up from a nightmare. And so you've got a lot of these typical things that happen in the film that we were and we are used to seeing women portray, but to see a young man do it, you know, the guy got a lot of flack from this film. And it was because, you know, the writer even, you know, reportedly said, you know, he was having fun torturing the actor. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a shit thing to do, because they knew that this was untamed territory. And rather than handle it with any kind of respect, they put this poor kid through hell, through his own horror movie. But I want to talk about a couple of the scenes. At one point, he wakes up in the middle of the night and goes wandering the city, as you do, and he walks into a leather bar.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, because it's called Dawn's Place, but the flashing neon light in the movie, when I saw it, I read it as Dom's Place.
Oh, my God, that's great.
And I was like, oh, my God. And also, at that point, because the movie goes so seamlessly between dreams and not dreams, I was not 100% clear if he was dreaming about it or not.
Yeah, and it's very clear. You're not really sure if he is.
Yeah.
And I think that's, again, that's kind of the point. There's a reference in the very first few minutes of the film about Coach Schneider, who is the gym coach, who is really hard on Jesse. And they say, like, he goes to, like, these S&M clubs. Well, Dawn's Place is this BDSM leather club.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is when they walk in, when Jesse walks in, it's this quintessential 1985, this is what white people think BDSM clubs look like.
Yeah.
And it's a bar where everybody's goth, and like everybody in there has 2 inches of eyeliner on, and some of the men have these spiked mohawks, and like the men look like they'll kill you. The women look like they're going to hurt you real bad. Like it's really kind of fun.
And it's also really hazy, smoky, neon everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it feels dream. It feels dreamlike.
Yeah.
So Jesse walks up to the bar, and what's funny is, again, he's wet because it's raining outside, and he's just like half naked, and he orders a drink, and the bartender, without even asking a question, gives him a drink. And then Coach Schneider puts his hand on his shoulder, and he's like, clearly he does go to this BDSM club. And then you go back, and Coach Schneider, the next scene, it flashes. Coach Schneider is still in his BDSM leather gear, because of course he is.
Yeah.
And Jesse is barefoot and running laps in the gym. And because of course he is, because Coach Snyder is such a dom that he'll bring Jesse, you know, this sweet statutory back to the gym to make him run laps.
Because he went to a bar.
Because he went to a bar? Yeah, like, yeah. Wait, what? Like, if you really cared about this kid, wouldn't you take him home, maybe? Mm-hmm. Which leads to the next really kind of queer baiting scene is what I'm going to call it.
All right.
Which is where Coach Snyder is in the locker room and all the balls start kind of shaking. Uh-huh. And then he starts getting pelted with balls. Because of course he does.
There's no symbolism there.
No. Big balls, little balls, all the balls. They just come flying at him. They hit him in the face.
Dirty balls.
Yeah. And then he is grabbed by two jump ropes and stretched up in the shower in a St. Andrew's cross position. Mm-hmm. And then two towels start to whip him in the in his ass. And he died like he lived. Coming hard. I don't know. It's an interesting scene. And I think if you're not ready for it, it's kind of shocking.
I will say that it's not something I expected to be in a 1980s horror film. I mean, but again, it's an interesting interpretation and just, it is a bit out of place. But at the same time, I can also see someone saying, I mean, you're in the mid 80s, and so they're trying to bring a bit of that, you know, that edge and that craziness and the whatever to the film. And, you know, I guess it does that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I agree. It does feel out of place, but at the same time, it's that who's our target audience? Mm-hmm. And they're mostly young males, really. And what do they want to see? And like, they want to see the gym coach take it because maybe that is in school who they're against or one of their main antagonists.
Well, that's who's always yelling at you and pushing you.
Yeah.
Right.
And then like, well, how can we really turn it up a notch? What if he was into leather and mm-hmm. BDSM? Because I don't think there was a lot. You didn't see that in media.
No.
At the time. And so it's kind of, and I should say mainstream media.
Yeah.
So it is interesting to experience it from that point of view. And I really like that. I think that although the character isn't a great character, the scene is interesting and it's entertaining.
And it sparks conversation. So.
Sure. I mean, I guess clearly, because here we are.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and we'll continue on with the rest of the film.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Looking for your next Christmas present? Because, look, the way things are going right now, you should probably go ahead and order it. Post is not going quickly. And if you want to get yourself something special, get your partner something special, or find some little things to stuff in the stockings, go to adamandeve.com. When you do, find your stuff, put it in your basket, use checkout code BYTHEBY. That's BYTHEBI. You will get one item at 50% off. 6 videos on demand, and a bunch of little stocking stuffers that you can give to somebody else. Buy something for you, keep the little things, and put them in someone's stocking. It's a win-win-win. Also, you'll get free shipping, which is great. especially since it's taking so long, you feel like you shouldn't have to pay for it anyway. Go to adamandeve.com. That's www.adamandeve.com. Use checkout code by the by. BYTHEBI. All right, let's continue on with our Halloween special. I just wanted to do that. So the next scene that really pops in my head when I think of this film, it feels a bit dirty calling it a film, this movie, is the pool scene.
That's what I was going to say, the pool. Yep.
So you have Jesse and his actually very good actress and actually very pretty co-star, Kim Myers, who plays Lisa. Also, you've got Robert Russler, who plays Grady, who is the maybe bully, but maybe not, and ultimately not. He's a nice guy. Anyway, so you've got Jesse and Lisa, and Lisa's having this pool party, and her parents are like, don't have, you know, be good. And like,
also, weren't they upstairs or something?
Well, like, they started out making hot dogs, and dad's making hot dogs and stuff for all the kids. And then they go upstairs to bone. Like, it's clear they are going upstairs. They've got all these kids in their pool outside having a party no later than midnight, and they're literally going upstairs to bone, which I think is just great.
Set a good example for your daughter, you know.
I mean, yeah, just, I mean, just let her know how to do it, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go make you a little sister or maybe brother. So they go upstairs, and Jesse comes over, and he's a little stressed out, right? So they end up in the cabana because everybody has a cabana. And I mean, I guess if you have a pool, you have a cabana.
You've got a pool, yeah.
And they start making out. And there's this great scene with this giant tongue that comes out of Jesse's mouth. So Lisa is laying on the ground. Jesse is on top of her, and they're like making out and kissing. And he's kissing on her neck, and he's going down her stomach. I'm pretty sure she's still wearing... I don't think there's really any tits in this movie.
No.
So I think she's wearing a bra or something.
Swimsuit.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Pool party. And he gets up, and he's got this giant tongue that comes out of his mouth. And let me replay for you from my memory what happened in our watching this film. Because Jesse freaks out and grabs the tongue and stuffs it in his mouth and then gets up and runs away. Angela screams at the TV, no, no, she'll like you better now.
I mean, come on. What girl doesn't want to see a giant tongue come out of a guy's mouth?
It was just, I was like, right, cool. but yeah, it's really kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The pool party was definitely something that really stuck out in my mind as well, because then she wanted to run after him, but she didn't want to leave her party. And her friends were like, yeah, just leave. It's fine. Go ahead. Go after him.
I do like that. You're like, you look, we're not here because of you, babe.
Yeah.
We're only here for the pool. Yeah. It's like the episode of The Simpsons where the Simpsons get a pool and they only love Lisa because she owns a pool. Mm-hmm. Which, again, this lady's name is Lisa. So maybe The Simpsons stole that from this. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Maybe.
It is very funny. Like, no, you should go. This party's horrible anyway. Whose house is this? So Jesse ends up in Grady's bedroom because, of course, he does.
Yeah, where else do you go when you're, like, you know, scared and have this massive tongue and, you know.
And there's this wonderful line of there's... someone trying to get inside of me or something like that, that Grady says. Because throughout the film, you're seeing Freddy like trying to possess Jesse. Mm-hmm. You know, you see Freddy's hand come through Jesse's hand, and it's like some really great and gory practical effects.
Yeah.
And he says to Grady, like, there's someone who's trying to get inside of me. And Grady's like, yeah, and you left her party. Which I think is another really interesting statement, because think about that statement. That makes perfect sense if the actor is female. It's mm-hmm. a lady. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, in 1985, for a guy to say, yeah, and she's at that party, to think, like, what does he mean that she wants to get inside you? Because I don't think pegging was really a thing that mainstream audiences would
mentally,
have gotten.
Emotionally.
Okay, tonally. Yeah. Go back. I hear Lisa's into eating ass. Oh, well, Freddie might like that. Freddie is what I call my penis. Maybe that was. And then later, once she's done, I'll get Freddie's revenge.
Oh.
Show me your brown starfish.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That's. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That's terrible.
But first, Grady, should I practice on you?
I don't think Grady would say no.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Grady was cute. So anyway, ultimately, Freddie comes out of Jesse and kills Grady. Uh-huh. Tragic. Uh-huh. What does Jesse do? He goes back to Lisa's house because I'm done tearing that boy a new one. It's your turn now, babe. But like, there's just... It's not a great film. It's not a terrible film. It's that middle of the road, but some of the logic I really suffer with. But he gets there and he's clearly having a panic attack, which poor kid. I mean, who wouldn't? You just killed your best friend. He's covered in blood and Lisa's like, oh, come on in.
Which is so bizarre. I mean, I realize that like she's concerned about him and things, but wouldn't your first question be like, whose blood is that? Where the fuck did it come from?
But arguably she saw Freddie destroy half of her friends at the
enough.
Pool.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, okay.
So maybe she was like, must be Thursday. So, you know, the long and short of it is, in the end, you've got, they go back to where Freddie was murdered, in this giant boiler room, in this giant industrial set, because they'd paid for it and they weren't going to use it just for dreams. They needed to get the full use out of this set.
But that's in the basement of the house, right?
It wasn't, but it was.
Yeah.
In his dreams, it was. But, yeah. Okay. So he's now in the heart and soul of the heat. Mm-hmm. All the cha-cha-cha-cha changes are you know, going on. And Freddie's like coming out of his stomach and shit. And mm-hmm. so he's solved. He's beaten back this time because of love. They Aww. Kiss. So heterosexual love destroyed the villain that was inside of
destroys all monsters. Jesse. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And really like the, not a lot of people died in this film. Like really.
Yeah. For a horror film. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was just Grady and Coach Schneider. Who were one Jesse's, you know, mentor mm-hmm. in the BDSM community, and two Jesse's boy toy, and in the end Jesse ends up with his beard.
So no boys for Jesse is what I'm learning.
No, yeah. So ultimately, you cannot watch this film and not go, "Wow, there is a lot of gay subtext in this film."
Yeah, for sure.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
And the fact that both the writer and the director were like, we had no intention of this. You look at it, you're like, come on,
guys. How can you not? If you didn't, then you are so out of touch with yourself.
And the world and the way things are and everything. It's interesting.
I did see a lot of that in there. But if we're talking about from a pure enjoyment point of view, it was probably my least favorite of the ones that we watched in lead up to Halloween this year.
Really? I do like it. It's not great, but I find it really enjoyable. And I really like the fact that you have, it's different. It subverts the norm. And that's what I think I really enjoy about it.
It does do that. I will give you that. I think why it was my least favorite is because I felt like the others had more suspense, whereas this was not, it's not suspenseful, right?
Yeah.
It's just it's like, it's a good story and things happen and there's monsters, but just not suspense.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what I'm looking for more in my horror.
Yeah, I can accept that. Another
it was good and it was entertaining, but yeah.
Yeah, I do like it. It's not my favorite. It's Freddie isn't my favorite. He's too sarcastic. He's too chatty for me. I always feel like
whoa, too chatty for Bradford.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like, if there's going to be a chatty person, it better be me, right? I like my strong and silent types. Jason okay. Voorhees and Michael Myers. That's who I want. I was just to change the subject here a little bit. We were going to watch The Babadook.
Oh, yeah.
We've not gotten around to that. We will still watch it before Halloween because it is absolutely terrifying. And it is a lot more, I think it's a lot more up your alley. It's very psychological. And it is a queer, like The Babadook is a queer icon. People dress up as The Babadook for Pride. And one of the main reasons is Netflix, when it came out, originally mislabeled it as a LGBTQI+ movie. And so because they accidentally put it in there, the queer community is like, fuck you, it's ours now.
I love that.
And it is very much, because it's a story about grief and it's about depression and sadness, which it once again, I think is par for the course for this community. Mm. But I wanted to shout out give my opinions on some of our Discord listeners' favorite horror movies.
Okay, yeah.
I asked last week, said, it's that time of year, what's your favorite scary movie?
We got quite a variety of responses,
We had
too.
Some great responses. Yeah. Mr. H from The Bedhoppers, love you, buddy. He said, too many to choose from. I love Jaws, Poltergeist, Paranormal Activity, .. So, we'll say Jaws is my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
I've seen it on the big screen twice. I have seen it on the little screen more times than I could possibly tell. I love the camera work, the suspense, that movie. I could do a whole podcast just on that film. It is fucking brilliant. Poltergeist is amazing.
That one's great. Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And it does that. It does it so well. If you're looking for a scary movie to watch, mm-hmm. Poltergeist is great. Mm. Paranormal Activity, which I think has the greatest return on any movie ever made. It cost like something like 20, 30 grand to make and made like $30 billion. Jeez. It's a huge return on investment for that film. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't like the way it's filmed. I don't like that sort of found footage, recorded at home kind of look.
Oh, I don't think I saw this one.
It's got some really scary moments, but it's more that dread kind of scary and a couple of jump scares. Uh-huh. The ending is, if you like the ending, the Paranormal Activity, I'm not sure we can be friends anymore.
Uh-oh. We might have to have a deeper chat with Mr. H.
We had a couple of people say, I don't like scary movies. That's all right. Nobody's perfect. Yeah. It's fine. Evil Dead 2.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I am a fan of the Evil Dead mm-hmm. series. Way to take one of the best long shots I've ever seen is in the introduction of the cabin. Also, the Necronomicon is just such a great name of anything. I realize it comes from Lovecraft, but still, it's great. Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Love the Alien series.
Yep.
Aliens was great. Game over, man. And the Scary Movie parody.
Okay.
Also, not a horror movie, but still frightening in how funny it is at times. Some of our listeners showed their age and said Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Yeah.
But I can't make too much fun of that because Ray Bradbury wrote it, and Ray Bradbury's a fucking gold mine. I love that man. Fucking brilliant. The Witch.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. It's scary in this sort of ethereal, weird. You're like, the whole movie is all setting up for the end. That's the whole movie. That's all it is. And there's a couple of great comeuppance moments in that film. I love the color. The palette of the film is beautiful. It's this pale, depressing film. If you've not seen it, definitely go out and watch The Witch. And the actress, I can't think of the young lady who's in it, but God, she's brilliant. Keep an eye on her. Anyway, so we had one of our listeners says, I don't generally go to horror movies because I took a real hard look at You Are What You Eat some years back. And with the shift to things like Rob Zombie's unrestrained reinterpretations and torture porn films like Saw and things like Hostel, I just decided I don't need that in my brain. It's damaged enough, which I totally,
fair enough,
totally respect that.
Absolutely.
But then my argument to that is stay away from the news. I find that
they might, you never know.
They might, and they might not. But I struggle a lot with, my dad was one of those people that hated horror because he said that it's like, it gives people ideas and it shows you just how bad the human brain can be. And my response always to that, which drove my dad mad, was, I know how bad the human mind can be. I take history lessons.
Yeah.
And I think a really sort of interesting factoid about the Saw franchise were the writers behind Saw, after the first one, the second, third, and up to, what, we at like 9 now? But they said the way they got ideas were by looking at the devices that were used during the Spanish Inquisition, mm-hmm. and then taking them and dialing them back a bit. Mm-hmm. So the things that we do to each other is much worse than anything that is actually happening in these films. And I find that for me, I find it's cathartic because 99 times out of 100, you know that the people are going to be just fine.
Yeah, most of the time they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Additionally, I always think of Stephen King, who said something to the effect of, the scariest thing I can write is something knocked at the door.
Mm.
And anything, at that point, the horror is there.
Your imagination's going to make it up.
Right. Yeah. And so whatever he said is on the other side of the door that he creates is going to blank in comparison to...
Well, and what you were saying about, you know, our brains being able to come up with these horrible, horrible things and horrible uses for items. And then, of course, you watch the news and what are they going to report on? They're going to report on that. They're not going to report on the good stuff that people are doing and whatnot. Like, I mean, because this is, you know, that's entertaining, right?
Yeah.
That's what we make movies of. There's a reason.
And then lastly, a listener said, not a movie, but American Horror Stories.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that series has some really long form series like American Horror Story can do things that these shorter forms like movies can't do. And that's these long buildups and these payoffs that just work. I think that...
And it's easier to come at things from different angles.
Yeah.
Too.
And you can tell different stories.
Yeah.
And I think what's really interesting about that is in some cases, there will be parts of it that just don't work. Mm-hmm. But you rarely remember those unless they really, really, really don't work. But in most cases, your brain forgets them. Whereas in a film, if 20 minutes of a 2-hour film just don't work, mm-hmm. that's what, you know, it's harder to forget that. But if 20 minutes of a 20-episode series doesn't work, you're gonna forget that.
You're gonna overlook it, yeah.
I think that Asylum is fucking genius. Based on a true story. A lot of the horror story, American Horror Stories are based on true stories or locations. Hotel mm-hmm. with Lady Gaga as a vampire is so much fun. And the depictions of drug use as a demon is just so good. And I actually liked, I'm one of the few people out there who enjoyed Roanoke. I think Roanoke was a fun trip. And maybe it was just because of living in North Carolina and knowing about the Roanoke Island story and all that stuff or the Roanoke Colony story. Maybe that's just it. But I do really enjoy that. American Horror Story. Woof. Booyah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen all the seasons of it, but the ones I've seen, I've really, really enjoyed.
I haven't watched the last three seasons. 1984, I tried watching it. I couldn't get into it. I think part of my problem with it is They all clearly come from the same universe, mm-hmm. and I don't have the time or patience to really invest in it right now. So, but that doesn't make them bad.
No,
that just
still
means
great.
I don't have the time or patience. So, that is, I feel like I've taken over the podcast over the last 2 weeks because this is my favorite time of year and we've never really done deep dives into the horror genre, but these will probably be our lowest listened to podcasts.
I doubt it. You might be surprised.
Maybe. I don't know. What do you want to say to wrap up?
Boo.
So thank you to all of our Discord listeners who popped in to tell us what their favorite scary movies are. If you want to be one of those Discord listeners, go to www.patreon.com/bythebypodcast and support us for as little as 50 cents a week. That's right. The amount of money that you lose in between your car seats each week could go to us and keep our lights on and running and put you in our Discord chat. So we'd really appreciate that. Thank you for sitting through and maybe listening again or listening for the first time. I think it's a great movie. It's a bit of a mess in some places, but just the history behind it and it makes me laugh every time. It's the sex scene or the try to sex scene is just amazing. So yes, without further ado, we're going to bid you a very scary farewell. Message us on any of our socials. We are at By the By Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Email us theatomsoflove@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week when we will have something not so scary, but very sexy. Bye.
Bye.
Ask us your questions, give us your comments, tell us your rude remarks on all of our socials at By the By Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Or go to the website, www.bytheby.com.au, and you can send us a message through our Contact Us page. Or if you're of the type of folks that just likes to send emails, do that. We are the Atoms of Love, theatoms of love @gmail.com. We definitely hope that your Halloweener gets dipped into someone's pumpkin pie and comes out with a little whipped cream on top this year. Enjoy your treats and turn some tricks. And I tell you, it's going to be scary about how much nakedness and sex that we're going to be having over the Halloween season.
Yes.
Angela, anything you'd like to say that's scary to all those folks?
I'm pregnant.
Oh, God damn.
No. In all seriousness,
I'm with child.
No, in all seriousness, have a happy and safe Halloween, and we will see you back here next week.
Oh my God, that's great. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.